Chapter 17. Counting the Days. It had been 4 days since the Great Master had left. Bidi once more rose from his nightly vigil, for he had numerous charges this day. The Black Furs had slept in shifts over the night. Some were awake and tending to the spirit furnace, and some were asleep. Some were digging shallow tunnels around the scaffolding. Their little heads poked out and sniffed the air before retreating back into hiding. Bidi once more swept off the great pillars and once more provided for his guests a meal of rice. This was supplemented by some of the normal herbs from the great master's garden, those that looked dying and withered, for even his lord was sure to have limits if he came back to find all of his food gone. The little black furs sang their praises of him, and he easily accepted their supplication, walking among them with his head held tall and proud. It was only natural that others submitted themselves to him. Thus he embarked upon his daily chores. The coops were mucked, the floor was swept, the garden was weeded. The little black furs followed him, observing his mighty form as he completed the tasks his great master had left to him. Surely they were in awe of his superior skill. Even Chunky and Pipa were handled with grace, though they were even more ornery than usual, snorting and snarling at the black furs. They were dreadful beasts, but he still had to take care of them as charged by his great master. So they were released from their pens, as his great master released them, so that they could root in the forest. Luckily, this drained some of their aggression, the base creatures digging in the dirt with abandon. It was nearly time to herd them back when there was a commotion out in the fields. The black furs were sounding an alarm, pointing at the clouds and squeaking with terror. They ran every which way in a near-blind panic. Even Chowji had hunkered down, observing the skies, but the crippled one stayed near his furnace. Bidi directed his eyes upwards and saw the source of their terror. Rage overtook him. One of the wicked feathers soared in the air, its gaze locked upon his charges. At least Basibushi had had a body that was as wicked as his heart, his sharp teeth and cruel eyes proof of his depravity. The wicked feathers, however, dared to take Bidi's noble and righteous form. Their beaks were not straight and true, but hooked and cruel. Their talons were similarly bloodthirsty and could only grasp to destroy. The heavens had created Bidi superior, separating his weapons. His claws could be used for manipulation, to tenderly care, while his spurs were for violence. Both were equal to the task ahead, to care for his guests and slay the wicked. The wicked beast swooped into a dive, targeting one of the smaller black furs who had wandered outside the great pillars. It was frozen, staring at its oncoming doom. This would not stand. Bidi leapt into action, his powerful legs propelling him to meet with the foul creature. Aided by the draw of the world, the wicked feather's dive was fast. Its body was streamlined, its gaze intent, moving in for the kill on a little black fur. Bidi easily surpassed the wicked feather's savage dive. He noticed the small improvement in his speed as his chi circled around him and the blades of holy moonlight formed upon his spurs. Bidi rose to the heavens, challenging that which dared threaten his charges. The interception was swift and brutal. The wicked feather, for all of its speed and cruelty, was no Basibushi. With a single stroke of his spurs, it was slain, its corpse falling at the feet of the little black fur. Bidi landed atop it. With the sun at his back, he gazed down upon the little creature. It stared back, awe in its eyes, struck dumb by his power and majesty. It kowtowed before him.
"Many, many thanks, great mighty lord,"
it whispered, its voice the highest pitch he had heard from the black furs, but the most comprehensible after Chowji.
"This one will serve its mighty great lord until it die perishes."
He knew not what service such a small creature could provide, but he would not spit upon its pride by refusing. He inclined his head, generously accepting the little one into his service. The little one got up and followed behind him as he walked back to the great pillars, and a tide of black furs came out to meet him, Chowji at its head. He spread out his arms at the sight, bowing low.
"Great magnificent Bidi, you are truly a great powerful and generous lord,"
Chowji declared.
"Please allow this Chowji to add to your power and craft more wondrous pills for you. Let the little ones work toil for you so that your strength may grow ascend."
Bidi nodded, accepting the tribute. It was only right that the weak venerate the strong. And so, another pill was crafted from the heavenly herbs. It had been 5 days since the great master had left. In 5 days, he had learned much about his new guests. Bidi contemplated the black furs. Their tiny, squeaky voices chattered in terror when the shadows of the wicked feathers darkened the land, or when they shouted the alarm of a scaled slitherer or small, long, black-furred creature that could dart easily into tunnels. They hid under their scaffold or in the tunnels they had carved underneath it and begged for him to save them. Naturally, he did. He struck down the threats to those under his care with steely eyes and no remorse. All who threatened the sanctity of Faram were defeated. The little ones rejoiced in his victories and consumed the bodies of the fallen. Under his protection, they redoubled their efforts to take care of Faram. And indeed, the Blackfurs and Chowji were industrious folk. They constantly worked with that spirit furnace of theirs, the little ones holding their paws against it and filling it with their chi while Chowji directed it. When they were not doing that, they scurried about on his orders, doing some of the more menial farm tasks. Teams of Blackfurs weeded the gardens, swept the floors, and ran around the perimeter, checking the great pillars. They mucked the coops and even braved the pen that held Chunki and Pipa, who took exception to their presence, voicing their displeasure with angry squeals. They even dared to attempt to stomp and bite some of the guests, and he had to send them onto their rumps with the power of his wings. They glared mutinously at him for that, but they accepted his decree. Some teams went to the forests, picking up mushrooms and seeds. Some were tasked with ranging farther and found more small herbs with chi in them to add to the pile for his or Chowji's approval. They worked themselves hard for his sake so he could dedicate more time to becoming stronger. They took a minute amount, less than he or his great master would take, and they ate heartily. This left Bidi more time to look upon the world, more time to grow his chi, and more time to hone his kicks and sharpen his spurs. The second pill had been just as effective as the first, the chi rampaging into his system until it was subdued and refined, adding its strength to his own. Bidi concentrated within himself, feeling the flow of his newfound power. His chi swelled, and he knew he would be able to take on 1,000 of Basibushi's ilk in single combat. His breath was better, his eyes were sharper, his spurs were even more deadly. These pills were most efficacious. Indeed, his great master would see their worth. He was pleased he had followed his great master's example and given these guests hospitality. Give and receive, as is the nature of the world. Once his great master returned, he too could partake of the fruits of the guests' labors and concentrate upon his own strength as the Blackfurs toiled for them both. One of the Blackfurs, the little one that had pledged her loyalty, squeaked to get his attention, holding out to him one of Chowji's newest concoctions, another pill. Ah, she was already serving, eager to prove her worth. How admirable. He accepted it with regal grace and turned his attention to circulating his chi, refining the newest pill and adding its power to his own. That night, after he had finished refining the pill, he was approached.
Great, magnificent Bidi, this Chowji humbly beg implores you,
the black fur asked, bowing low.
Chowji needs requires some more of the heavenly herbs, so as to perfect refine his recipe. Greater better pills will follow.
Bidi, being a generous host, approved of his aims. Striving to improve oneself was the essence of life. The stock of heavenly herbs was high, and when his great master returned, there would be no doubt that they would be effectively limitless, nurtured by this lord's power. It would be best to use them in this way.
You are smart wise to see the value of Chowji's work, great magnificent Bidi. I shall strive to make us ever more mighty powerful.
Bidi nodded magnanimously and returned to his meditation. Tomorrow was the most perfect form of the crescent moon, and he would need to be ready to once more contemplate it, hopefully furthering his understanding of it and his blades. He commanded the black furs to set up a night watch to fully invest himself, and they obeyed, promising him their utmost efforts. It had been 6 days since the great master had left. Now Bidi stood with Chaoji over the spirit furnace, adding his own might to the process. Many spirit herbs had been collected. Odd nuts and mushrooms and eggs had been procured by the toils of the little ones. They were ready to proceed with the newest pill, but Chaoji seemed nervous about his next request.
Great magnificent Bidi, this Chaoji would request something that may be insulting to the lord of this land.
He bowed his head and wrung his great master-like hands.
For this recipe to reach its full strength power, we will need blood.
Bidi turned his full attention upon the rodent. Chaoji cringed at Bidi's sudden sharp gaze, but Bidi gestured for him to continue.
This would not slay kill any of the females, but their blood is thick rich with chi. We can use it to stabilize this component and bring us greater power might. With your leave permission, we shall drain harvest some blood.
Bidi thought on it. It could be like what the great master did. His chi went back to him. Bidi was, however, loath to take what was his master's. But he felt close to some kind of strength increase. As he contemplated the moon and circulated his chi, he could feel his power knocking on some sort of wall, trying to find a way to break through it. Surely the great master would not begrudge him. The rooster turned to Chaoji and gave his permission. A wide smile spread across his face, and his body nearly vibrated with joy. Some blood was harvested from the hens. They clucked angrily as little teeth made incisions in their legs, but it did not seem to be too much pain. The industrious creatures harvested some blood from each hen, then returned once more for the ritual, the flames soaring as the blood was added. This one was different. Bidi's head started to pound when the black furs began to chant. Their voices rose and fell as the spirit furnace shuddered. Strange power filled the clearing, bathing everything in red light. It was a difficult refinement, the longest yet, with many smaller black furs falling unconscious. Their comrades left them slumped over, so intent upon their toils were they. Bidi himself joined the ritual, lending a bit of his own power to make sure the refinement was completed. The furnace popped open, revealing two blood-red pills. They were filled with chi, roiling, potent, and ready to be used. Bidi stared at them greedily, side by side with Chaoji. The black fur leader reached in, examining them with an air of reverence. Then he turned and bowed to Bidi, presenting the potent medicine. It was the most powerful pill yet, thick with rich energy. He knew that he could only take one. A second would be too much for his system. Bidi accepted his tribute and returned to the great pillars to contemplate and refine. Everything else was immaterial as he tuned out the rest of the world. Chaoji smiled as the rooster consumed the pill. It was time to weave his spell. His chi, along with the pill, entered the bird's body. It circulated within him and pushed. Gently, almost unnoticeably, his chi wriggled forward. Impure earthly desires. It was a subtle thing, for it had to be. Bidi was terrifyingly strong for these lands. But with this, it didn't matter how strong Bidi was. Slow, constant pressure was all Chaoji needed. The rooster would have strength, as promised, but his strength would be Chaoji's. This Faram would be his. Just a little more. He turned to his servants, to the dead forms of his clan kin, their very lives invested in the pill, drained of all their chi and vital spirit.
"Eat, dispose of the corpses," he commanded, and the little ones hastened to obey, setting upon their fallen kin. Soon, their numbers would be replaced. But he did not notice the horror of the smallest of them as she turned down her head and acted like she was obeying. In her mind, her own thoughts whirled.